You're listening to NWPB. For over 30 years, Native American Heritage Month has been federally recognized. Northwest Public Broadcasting reporters are interviewing Indigenous people from throughout the region to learn what they think about the month and what they want people to understand about their culture and who they are. Lauren Gallup spoke with T.J. Green, chairman of the Macaw Tribe.
My name is Timothy Green, T.J. Green. I'm the chairman for the Macaw Tribal Council out in Nea Bay, Washington.
Chairman Green says he sees Native American Heritage Month as an opportunity to communicate the needs of the tribe.
There's a vast number of issues that we've been working to get people's attention, to get our government's attention, and the general public's attention so they can help us push these commitments that the government's made to us. The United States continually falls short in a number of areas, whether it's through funding, whether it's through land management, whether it's through energy policies. Tribes always seem to find themselves where they're losing a piece of their culture, a piece of their identity, access to resources.
Green says one of the ways the United States has broken its commitments to the Macaw tribe is by slowly chipping away at the tribe's access to fish in the Pacific Ocean.
That's our cultural, spiritual identity, that ocean, and those fisheries resources provide us with not just our subsistence and food needs, nutritional needs, but also our economic needs. And it has for thousands and thousands of years. How regulations are enacted and treaties made with other nations like Canada, it's restricted our access to these treaty resources such as halibut, black cod, salmon. We're only accessing 1/3 of our ocean territory that was reserved to us in the Treaty of Nea Bay.
Those losses haven't been reconciled or financially compensated, Green says.
As a real specific example, halibut, you know, around treaty times, the Macaw people out of canoes were harvesting nearly 2 million pounds of halibut a year. And today, our most recent halibut quota was 500,000 pounds that was shared amongst 13 other tribes.
Chairman Green questions how a tribe is supposed to have self-sufficiency, which is what they want, when their means for economic survival have been so reduced.
That type of story can be repeated by every federally recognized tribe in the nation, and even the non-federally recognized tribes that never had their treaties ratified by Congress.
Green acknowledged Canada codifying the UN Declaration on Indigenous Rights, something he would like to see the U.S. do.
I think people are beginning to understand, you know, what's at stake and how these decisions were made, these commitments that were broken, and people are seeing them in a different light as an injustice.
Green says the State Commissioner of Public Lands, Hillary Franz's recent executive order outlawing use of net pen fishing, except by tribes in the state, is a good example of allowing tribes autonomy. Tribes are on the forefront of impacts from climate change, and Green says because of their relationship with the land and restrictions on where they can be, it is crucial to allow tribes autonomy for adaptation, resilience, and mitigation in a changing climate.
The general public isn't connected the way a tribe is connected to its place.
And for the tribe, they are limited legally on where they can access resources.
If the resource becomes too scarce or unsustainable or, God forbid, goes extinct, we got nowhere to go. That's the only place we can legally harvest that under our treaties and utilize those resources.
Chairman Green says that Indigenous tribes in Washington have a great positive influence on the communities they are part of.
Washington State is very rich in its Indigenous culture. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of opportunity for people to engage with the tribes that are in their area.